You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we are talking to Molly Grable, who is also a San Diego native. She was my teammate for a couple years at University of Oregon, and she is now currently a marathoner living in Boulder, Colorado. I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Before we hop into today's episode, I want to talk about one of my favorite sponsors that I've been working with for over a year now on all of my platforms, and that is because I love them so much, and that is Inside Tracker. When you do what you love, like running, like racing, like enjoying the great outdoors, you want to do it for life, and that is where Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside of you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. For me right now, specifically, I'm working on my cortisol levels. If you've, you know, watched or heard me talk about Inside Tracker at all, you know that my cortisol levels are really, really high, and I don't know why I'm so stressed. Cortisol is a stress hormone, and I don't know why, but I'm so stressed. I'm like in the top 5% of all Inside Tracker users of my stress levels, or cortisol level, I mean, and I am working on bringing that down. I've been using mindfulness and trying meditation every single morning, and I think it really helps. I think it just helps me, you know, establish gratitude and just focus on not overcomplicating things throughout my day, and having Inside Tracker there to help me check that off every day and also, you know, work on my diet changes as well to help my other biomarkers has really been helping me. So Inside Tracker helps you track your progress every day and every step of the way towards reaching your own performance goals and living a longer, healthier life. It's very individualized. I cannot recommend it enough. And right now, for a limited time, you can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/Emma. The link is in the show notes as per usual to get that 20% off. And now let's hop into today's episode with Molly, my good old former teammate. Okay, Molly, welcome to the podcast, the one that we were supposed to record literally 3 weeks ago while you were in my apartment, but we talked for too long and we never did. So now we're recording it via Zoom, but welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah. As you know, I can talk a lot. So I guess buckle up.
Well, to get started, do you want to just tell the podcast listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. My name is Molly. I am from San Diego originally. I ran against Emma in high school. We were rivals and friends.
Rivals. I was literally 10 years old.
Yeah. You were very young. I think we only overlapped 1 year.
Yeah.
I went to University of Oregon and ran there. And also was teammates with Emma. And now I live in Colorado, where I live and train. and also work full time.
How does it feel being like the third best athlete coming out of San Diego? Number one, Mac Fleet, number two, me, and number three, you.
I mean, there are some big names, even Jordan Hesse, you know?
Well, she's not from San Diego.
Oh, you're right. I'm just thinking about California. Come on,
you grew up here.
Sorry. I saw a post she posted today, a picture of her from high school, and it just really brought me back to those like CIF state meets. And yeah, competing against her, knowing that I would never win state until she graduated. So I just capitalized my junior year after she left.
Were you on the Oregon team with her?
Yeah. Yeah, we overlapped 2 years, I want to say. Oh. She only did 4 years.
Oh. What was your favorite year at Oregon?
You
can be honest. You can say it went downhill after I got there. It's fine.
No. I think you were there my favorite year. I think probably just like the year of 2015. Just like the spring track year, and then that went to fall of 2015. Because that was probably my best running year. And at Oregon, it's fun when you're running well. that's kind of a nice way to put it. But yeah, I would say the year of 2015.
Yeah. I like 2015. Well, that was like my first year at Oregon.
Yeah.
That was my first year at Oregon too. Really? I was running. Yeah. Wait, 2015. Yeah. I got there winter of 2015. Winter 2015.
Well, then when you arrived.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so that, I mean, that makes sense. Like I show up and you start having the best time of your life. Okay.
Yeah. Checks out.
A good coincidence there.
Yeah.
Well, how was it, you know, growing up in San Diego? How would you describe your San Diego running experience?
It was good. I mean, running, it wasn't like my passion at that point. I just did it for, you know, friendship, and I felt pretty successful doing it. I knew that it would, you know, kind of help me get into college. So all these things I was doing, not just cause I loved it. And, that definitely changed later in my life, but, yeah, I really enjoyed running in high school. And in San Diego, you know, there's no snow. The season is pretty much the same. Maybe track is a little bit hotter, but for the most part, it's not, too bad to, you know, just grow up in San Diego and running in San Diego. It's very hilly. And I didn't really appreciate that.
Until, yeah, I did not like the hills.
I left and then came back and I was like, oh my gosh, I was so much tougher when I was younger. like the routes that I ran in high school, I would probably refuse. I would just go to
Miramar
and no, be like, literally, I'm just gonna do a flat 5 mile run.
I think, I mean, after going to Oregon and running on Priest Trail every day where there's not one inch of incline, I think going home and then running any of the high school trails, I actually refuse. I only ran along the coast every day because I was like, I know I'm not going up those hills anymore.
Yeah. I think I remember I met you one time for a run. And
no, like, I do remember that.
Should we do the 101? And I was like, okay. And it was a delightful run, but it was just all, yeah.
It was just flat and there's a straight line.
Yes.
No, but yes. We met up for another run too. But we went, I don't know if it was Lake Miramar, but it was hillier. We went on a trail run once. I remember I ran 6 miles and you had to go a little longer. It was like Lake Hodges maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Yeah. I think, or maybe it was the lagoon. I'm not really sure. But yeah, no, it's definitely hilly, definitely tough. So I don't even give myself an altitude adjustment when I come back from Colorado because it's so hilly that I run slower when I'm at sea level, like truly sea level. And I'm running 8:30 pace on these really hilly trails. So, yeah.
When did you like get good at running?
I feel like in high school, I was a little bit more consistent with training. I had a really good high school coach, Terry Dockery, and I really got along well with him. And so he was super encouraging. I think you even came to a track workout at RB.
Oh my gosh, yes.
With Coach Doc.
Yeah, he was always really nice.
Yeah, very sweet. And I mean, I'm still good friends with him today. So I think he kind of just helped me really embrace running and be a little bit more consistent with training. Cause in middle school, I would kind of try to opt out of any run that I could, just hiding in bushes and stuff. So, you know, the typical middle school experience. So high school, I got a little bit more serious, a little bit more consistency, and I probably improved a lot more just my freshman year by doing that.
Did you know you wanted to go to Oregon right away? Where did you visit to?
I visited Washington and Oregon, but I was also being recruited by Cal and some of the Arizona schools, but they told me, they're like, we wake up at 5 a.m. And I was like,
never mind.
That is not me at all. And then I talked to Stanford briefly, but they just told me that I was going to struggle. So I was like, okay, well, I like struggling doesn't sound fun. So yeah, it was truly between Oregon and Washington. And I know I wanted to stay on the West Coast in the Pac-12. So yeah, I went on my visit to Washington and I had a really fun time. I loved it. I loved a lot of San Diego girls went to Washington. Megan Morgan was there. I really liked it. And then I went to Oregon and I really liked it as well. So it was a tough decision. But yeah, ultimately picked Oregon. I didn't have as much respect for like the history of Oregon until I went there. Everyone's like Priest Trail or Priest Rock. And as a high schooler, it was just kind of like, whatever. And then once I got there, I kind of realized, you know, the running history and, you know, Bill Bowerman and all of, you know, the big names that came out of running kind of came from Oregon. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. What surprised you about like the program overall and like your entire Oregon experience, I guess?
I don't know. I think I didn't have the same coach all 5 years. My first year I had Jenny Ashcroft and then Lenana were coaching. And then it switched over to Marisa my sophomore year. And it was really nice to have kind of a female influence for both of those transitions. But I think it was interesting to experience kind of different coaching styles. I guess it was my own fault that I was such a bad runner my freshman year. Cause I think, it just took me a while to kind of get focused and realize what I want. And, I was not big into running. The passion wasn't coming from the right place when I started my freshman year, and that kind of changed throughout my college career. And I think it's changed even more now post-collegiately, but, my freshman year, not motivated. I had a very fun summer leading into college and, you know, I was expecting running to kind of be the same where, you know, it was something that I did, but not really like who I was. And then I got to camp and just got my butt kicked. Camp was tragic. I couldn't do anything.
Camp was tragic.
Yeah, it was really tough. So, I was kind of like, this isn't really that fun. And it just kind of took me a while to get focused and start trying and seeing those results. Cause you know, it was a competitive team and I was fighting to be on the top seven. And before, you know, I was the best on the girls team and would be running with the boys. So it was just kind of a different mental shift.
Yeah. What would you say is like the most fulfilling part of your college experience?
I made a lot of really great friends. Our social experience was limited, but I feel like the friends that I did make that were on the track team, you know, I've stayed in touch with a lot of them even after college. And yeah, we kind of just all experienced everything together. And so you just kind of bond through the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
So I think I'm most grateful for that.
Yeah, I get a lot of people like, I mean, yeah, just a lot of people online, high schoolers that are like, oh my gosh, Oregon is my dream school. Like I want to run there so bad and everything. What would you say is the type of person? I'm just curious as someone who was like on the team for a long time, obviously, and with me, like, what would you say is the kind of person that would do well at a school like Oregon? Or like what traits do you feel like you need to have?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like someone who kind of not respects, but just kind of like understands like the importance of, you know, the history. And I feel like being a running nerd, kind of not a nerd, but like someone who's a fan of running, helps, you know, because I think that you just kind of have this level of respect and you really appreciate what you're coming into more. And I feel like I didn't really have that that respect coming in as much, and that I definitely gained it. And part being a part of that program, you want to be good so bad. And if you come into it not wanting to, it's really tough to be a part of. So I think you either have to be all in or get out. And so I think having someone who's, you know, excited, wants to get better, wants to compete, and just be the best that they can, that personality and those traits like really will help you, especially having a team mentality. Oregon's so team oriented. You know, you go to conference, you go to nationals, and you just want to score. Everyone wants, like, you're eyeing that eighth place.
Literally my 1 point scored at Pac-12s. I'm like,
yes. You're like, I contributed. Yeah. You're like, excuse me, I'm going to get on the bus first because I am a scoring member.
Because I contributed to this winning team.
Yep. You're like wearing the ring. You just like feel like.
Stop wearing the ring around campus.
Yeah.
I scored. Yeah.
Pac-12 champion. So yeah, they just kind of create this really special environment where everyone really wants to contribute. And it's cool because you have that not just in cross country, but in track as well. And yeah. Cross country, it's so, you know, everyone's doing the same event and, you know, it's a little bit more clear, but when you're doing track, everyone's doing these different events and it's kind of cool that they unify everyone. Yeah. So I appreciated that. That was a cool experience, but yeah. And it just kind of elevates you as an athlete, which is cool. Do you feel like you cause you had different track experiences. Did you feel that was different at Oregon or?
I mean, I feel like it was just a lot. It was just crazy how much focus there was on running. I mean, I feel like in high school, especially I grew up, I mean, running was obviously a huge part of my life, but I feel like I had the social aspect too, that I had a ton of friends that weren't runners. So to have my entire life be centered around running was very just different. And yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it because I think it made me a much better athlete. And just the way Oregon is structured, I feel like you're just kind of, if you follow the path that is given to you, you're like bound to be a good athlete. Like you're bound to be better. And it's the same. I mean, the school I went to for 2 years or 2 months before I went to Oregon, there just wasn't as much, pressure to really be focused on running. I mean, people had other aspects of their lives that they were worried about rather than when you go to Oregon, it's like, okay, you're here to run and you're here to be the best. And the champion mindset, I think, was just something that is different than a lot of other schools. It sounds so cliche.
Cheesy, but like we literally heard it all the time.
Yeah. You know? It's like, you're here to score points. You're here to medal and podium at NCAAs and everything or win, you know? So I feel like just being around coaches that are like that, people that all have that same mindset, you're just guaranteed to elevate yourself as a runner. Sometimes I feel like it was a little much for me because I feel like at times I do need that balance of more like I need to get away from the running world rather than just have everything every day be like, you do this to be a better runner. Like every day, I feel like I kind of like drove me insane in some aspects, but
yeah,
just in terms of like running performances, I think I ran really well because of what Oregon is. So
yeah,
it was just definitely interesting experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the resources that you have access to just it's super nice.
Yeah. I also liked how small our team was because other schools, I mean, you have like 30 people on a women's distance team. So to have like, I don't even know, 12 or whatever we had on our team, it was so small, but it was fun.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, Marisa obviously cared about everyone and everyone's program was, I mean, it was the same, but it was a little different. And
yeah,
I feel like there was just good attention that is paid to you and what you're doing. Just individual attention. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a lot of friends that coach as kind of either their job or a side hustle, and you know, they have so many athletes, and I can't imagine, you know, I felt like Marisa was juggling what 12 to 16 at most at one time, and I can't imagine them juggling 60 to like 100 people's schedules. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it really does take a lot of attention to detail. And I feel like some requested more of Marisa's attention than others. But yeah, no, it was cool to be on such like a small distance team.
Yeah. So. When did you know that you wanted to run after college?
I don't know. I think that when you're in college, you kind of have this idea of, you know, you're going to get out of college and get a sponsor and it's going to be your job and things aren't really going to change too much from what you're doing in college. And that's just, there's really no middle class of running anymore. I feel like maybe years past there used to be where maybe you could get out of college and get a small deal. But you're either, you know, winning NCAAs and signing a great deal, or you're just kind of middle of the road and you're doing it because you love it. So I think that's Morgan.
Hi. Morgan.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Just wanted to say hi because I heard you.
We've got another guest on the show who's already been a guest. Welcome Morgan Pearson to the podcast.
He's got a 5-hour mic on deck. 4-hour?
Four and nice and easy workouts on the agenda.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely grateful that I stick to just running after college and didn't dabble in any other endurance sports. I think I would have failed.
Okay, says the person who literally runs marathons, the hardest distance to run. So,
but at least they don't do ultras.
I wish she did the race, so we could do that couples race.
Oh, we could have done that couples triathlon race.
Wait, like, see, you should just get into triathlon. Are you good at swimming?
I don't know. I don't swim.
Oh, well, okay. Now you got a good teacher right there.
Ooh, would you teach me in swimming?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
I feel like you'd be kind of savage. I'm not good at it. Oh, okay. Okay. Good. Good.
Well, you got some bike clips or whatever Morgan got for you, he said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do have bike shoes, and we have a stationary bike, so I don't know how I'd do on in the wild with a like a bike that isn't cemented to the ground in clamps. We'll see.
What were we even talking about? Oh, running post-grad.
Oh, just that, like, the goal when you're in college is kind of to get that sponsorship deal and then keep running. And I feel like for a lot of people, it just doesn't really look like that. I think I definitely struggled a few years after college, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I joined a few different groups and just trying to find the right fit. You know, you go to college and you just assume that the training is right for you and works out. You don't really think about it. But then, I mean, and a lot of students sometimes find that doesn't happen and they end up transferring, but that wasn't my experience. So I definitely had to find a coach that lined up well with what I was trying to do. And I feel like that took me a while. And then also figuring out, you know, how am I gonna live? I have to like get a job and work because especially on the track, which is what I was trying to do immediately after college, it's like the most expensive hobby that you could have. Because you have to fly, you get a hotel, you pay to get into the meet, and then you run a PR, which is probably nothing, not making any waves on any world stage at all. So you just kind of give yourself like a good job. And then I did it and then move on. So it's definitely tough to feel successful on the track after college. But moving to the roads, I found a lot more excitement about running and the roads take care of you so much better. They pay for your flights most of the time. They'll give you accommodations like hotel and race entry. And then typically there's pretty good prize money. So it comes from being an expensive hobby to, I wouldn't really say a career, but you can pick out some pretty good races and it's maybe a nice side hustle.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I think for me, especially with COVID, socially running has been great because I work from home and I'm inside my apartment alone all day. And it's just nice to be able to meet my friends in the morning for a run and get that social time and that interaction. And it's just, it's become so important and really makes my day so much better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like you probably just answered the question, but what is your why with running? Because since it's not, you know, your full-time career, even though you do make some money off of it, like, why do you get up and train for 26.2 miles consistently? Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a couple reasons why. I mean, socially is a big thing for me. A lot of times if I don't meet people, unless I'm like really serious and training on something, I probably don't run. So meeting people is kind of the biggest like thing to get me out the door. But also it's just really gratifying to have a goal and work really hard and try to hit that goal. So I think that it's nice to have something out of the workplace that I'm striving for. And it just is kind of like that time to focus completely on yourself and make yourself better. Instead of doing it, you know, for a team, like we did at Oregon, or having that kind of purpose, you know, to set a goal and be like, oh, I want to run this time in the marathon, or I want to be top five at this marathon. It's super fun to work towards. And yeah, kind of keeps you motivated.
Quick little intermission here from Molly and I's episode to talk about one of my favorite and most stylish sponsors of the podcast, which is Gooder. Gooder makes $25 active sunglasses for anyone. They are lightweight, comfortable, and they don't move when you run, which is so amazing and exactly what you need when you're working out. And they're all for only $25. They're no slip, no bounce, all polarized, and all fun. And some actually say that they are the best sunglasses ever invented, and I definitely agree with that because I wear them every single day. If you catch me out on a run or even out on my bike, you will see a pair of sunglasses on my face, and I can guarantee you that they are Gooders because I wear them every single day while I'm working out. They also have fun names like Brody's Ultimate Ride. My favorite pair is actually the $9 pour-overs. They're very stylish and cute, and they don't move on my face when I run, which is incredible. I also love that they're 100% UV protective and 100% polarized because the sun shines really brightly, and I need sunglasses when I run, and I need them to be polarized because if they're not, they're not powerful enough for my sensitive little eyeballs. So if you're on the hunt for a good gift for someone who is active and needs a good pair of sunglasses, Gooder is the perfect gift idea. Right now, you can try them out, and you should treat yourself too to a pair because you deserve it. Go to gooder.com, that's G-O-O-D-R.com, and get 15% off your entire order when you use code COLDBREW at checkout. All orders over $50 get free shipping in the United States. That's 15% off with code COLDBREW at www.goodr.com. Look good, run gooder. Now let's get back into today's episode with Molly.
What's it like not having, you know, all the resources that were given to you in college? Because obviously, like you said, everything's paid for. Yeah. Things are just planned out for you. You have trainers on deck. So how is that sort of life?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. And I think you kind of realize, I mean, maybe I have realized that I don't need all of that stuff. You know, I would get weekly massages. Anytime anything would come up, you know, you could just text the doctor, and, you know, if you had a flu, he would get you medication immediately, or anything like that. You just kind of had access to a lot of different things. I also used, you know, the Altergy, and I underwater treadmilled a disgusting amount in college. So I almost believed that I needed to underwater treadmill to stay healthy. And I would do almost an hour a day on the underwater treadmill at Oregon, which was like horrible.
What?
The smell, I just constantly smelled like chlorine. It was disgusting.
I think I went on the underwater treadmill one time.
Yeah. Did you do the one under the grandstands?
I went on it twice because I went on the one in the Cas one time, and then it was the one on the grandstands.
That's that was like where I lived. Yeah.
No.
Well, I would go because I lived right by Matt Knight Arena, so I would go on that one a lot, and then the Cas sometimes, but Hayward a lot just because it was like convenient. But it was like, so sometimes the water would be just straight up green.
That's what, like, I mean, it's like murky, like
this color green. And like, I would tell people, I'd be like, oh, I think the water's like not good. And they'd be like, oh no, it's fine. There's just so much chlorine in there. Like, it's fine. And it was not fine, but it's fine. I would close my mouth.
Stop. The underwater treadmill was cool. It is like very, I forgot we even had those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I felt like, did I gain fitness from it? Probably not. Cause I was just kind of floating around. But yeah, so I just supplemented my training with a lot of stuff. So when I left college, I felt like, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to stay healthy without all these things? And you just do it. And
you realize you're fine
or you're not. And I was fine. And I was like, wow, I didn't need to cross train 7 hours a week on the underwater treadmill. So Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I could probably be a lot better about, you know, getting maybe even monthly massages, or if something crops up, I do go to see a PT. There's tons of resources in Boulder, but, I typically don't go unless I'm severely injured. So like I'm already done for by that point.
The PT, please save me.
Yeah. I'm like, is there anything you can do? But yeah, I could definitely be a little bit better about that, but it's hard when you don't know where to go, or if you don't have health insurance or all these other things, that you might not have coming out of college.
Yeah. How is it living in Boulder?
I like it. It's a very, tight knit community. So, it's good because you can go out on runs and you'll see, you know, a lot of people. You never really have to run alone. But, yeah, I think, I definitely struggled to make friends outside of the running community for a bit, and, work has definitely helped with that. But yeah, no, it's nice to have friends after college, because that's a really hard thing to do also. Yeah. Is make friends after you were on a team, you know, with your 12 closest friends, and then you leave. So yeah. The real world can be kind of brutal in that sense. So.
Why does everyone move to Boulder? Like, why Boulder?
You know, I don't know. I mean it is a really great place to train. I personally don't love the winters. I think that they're quite tough and brutal, but that's probably just the San Diego in me talking.
Yeah.
And I mean, Oregon was, the winters were brutal, but you could manage. You were just like low key depressed.
Yeah. You put on your hat and your rain jacket and you're like, okay, yeah, here we go.
This is fine. But the sun is out here, which is super nice. And there's so many places to run. And yeah, I mean, just, I feel like the community gets it, and that's a similar vibe to Eugene, is that, you know, everyone here, not everyone, but most people go out for a run, and I get a lot of, understanding from my job, just because people like to get outside and do things, in this town. So that's really nice. And, the work-life balance of Boulder is really unique. You know, you don't have that New York grind and hustle where you're like working until 8 or 9 PM. So yeah, it's definitely kind of a special vibe out here. So yeah. And like I said, you always have people to run with, and I need people to run with to be great. So
well, there was like some runner when we were at the Sound running meet that they were saying doesn't train a step with anyone. They do every single one of their runs alone. Did you hear that?
No. Who
yeah, said one that? Of the guys, I don't know, it was one of the guys in the 10K. I don't remember who it was, but he said that he never runs a step with anyone.
Oh my god. So if like someone was like coming up behind him and like he tried to like run a little bit, he would just stop immediately.
Stop or he'd sprint away. I don't know the logistics on it, but I don't know how someone can do that ever.
It's like, you're ruining my stat of training with no one. So please leave.
If someone catches us right now, I'm gonna be exposed.
Yeah. That's so interesting. And he trains in Boulder?
No, I don't know what.
Okay. I was like, impossible.
Oh my God, 5 hours outside.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I think I'll finish inside.
You're going to finish inside?
Yeah, I don't have time.
Yeah. Are you going up to the mountains?
Yeah. I'll do like, I'm just going to like go along the mountain and just do every climb.
Just climb up the mountains until, multiple
like,
times.
Until I need to start heading back.
Okay. Well, be safe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Have fun.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. Have a fun conversation.
No, I think we'll keep you in.
We'll keep you in. Don't worry. Thank you to Molly's boyfriend for the cameo. Now I'll just title it Molly Grable and Morgan Pearson, the dynamic duo of.
Well, I guess like I was on Lindsay Hines' podcast.
I know, I saw that the other day.
Yeah, and I said something about Morgan, and I just said that, oh yeah, like he's a triathlete. And he wasn't like upset, but he was just like, you made it sound like I just like do this as like a hobby or something.
Okay, so we should make it known on this podcast that Morgan is not just Molly's boyfriend, but he also went to the Olympics in the triathlon.
Yeah, and got a silver medal.
And so. Yes, and got a silver medal. And he's already been on this podcast before and had a whole episode dedicated to him. So
yeah, so let's just make this about me. I'm not. Yeah, I'm just kidding. So
this is about Molly.
I did realize, I was like, you know what? That's actually super fair. I need to be a better hype woman. So yeah, he's good at what he does. There you have it.
I can just imagine you. I didn't listen to the podcast, but I can just imagine you. Yeah, I have a boyfriend. His name is Morgan. He's like a triathlete. And then you just look him up.
Yeah. No, I literally think that's how it was. So yeah, I need to be better. He's good.
Yeah. How did you guys meet?
We met through running. He was sponsored by 361 and they were just like throwing me shoes because I needed them or I don't know. They were giving me free shoes, which I was super grateful for. And there's this event called the running event in Austin. And have you been, by the way?
I've never been.
Okay.
And I'm kind of offended I haven't been invited.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you really need like a booth for like yourself, because it's mainly just like vendors and booths and yeah, whatever. But I feel like that's, I don't know, kind of your world.
I feel like some brand would be like, come with us or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope, huh. Never got the invite. Pissed.
Anyway, so we went.
Okay. All right. You guys got invited. We get it.
Also some members of Roots, because they were sponsored by 361, also came. And Morgan DM'd me and another girl on Roots on Instagram and was like, I am driving to the airport if you guys want to ride, because we were all in Boulder. And I was just like, yeah, sure. And Maggie Montoya also got a ride. We sat next to each other on the plane and I was like, oh, he's like kind of cute. And we hung out at the event and had a fun time.
Wow.
And then just kind of hung out from there. And then I think we had Club Cross a couple weeks later. And that's where our relationship really blossomed. So that was so upsetting.
Blossomed at Club Cross.
Yeah, I know. As I said it, I regretted it. We started dating right after Club Cross. So
what would you say are like is a pro and a con of two people that are like professional athletes dating each other?
Oof. I would say in the pro list is that we're just kind of on the same schedule and we kind of have the same goals. So, you know, a typical weekday, we're not going to happy hour or, you know, doing a bunch of things. It's, you know, I'll get my second run in after work and he's probably out somewhere still biking or swimming or something. And then, you know, we have dinner and watch a show and just kind of relax and go to bed. And so we're kind of on the same page in that regard. And then I feel like on the cons list, I mean, we don't do as many, you know, we do fun things. Like we went to Mexico and we've gone on fun trips, but it just has to be at certain times that works well for both of our schedules. So, it's like, we're doing the same things, but, I don't feel like I miss out just because Oregon kind of.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a smooth transition where it's like, okay, you already watched, like my entire college career was spent, you know, go work out in the morning, go to class, make my dinner, watch Netflix and go to bed.
Yeah, and like that's just what like life is.
Yeah.
But it's great because, you know, my goals to be a really good runner and his goals to be a really good triathlete, you know, line up in that sense. So it's good. And we bounce like ideas off each other for training of, you know, oh, maybe I should take this run a little bit easy, or maybe I shouldn't double. So it's nice to kind of have someone else as like a sanity check and understands, you know, you're like, oh, I'm like, you did a really hard running workout. You should probably do less today. Yeah. Instead of someone who maybe is supportive, but just doesn't get that understanding of experience.
Yeah.
So but it's good. Yeah. Yeah. I thought I had something else to add, but I don't. I was
Congrats.
Another con. But
congrats on a good relationship with another athlete.
Thank you. Yeah. It's very
getting back to you, like what is your main goal for running? Like what do you want to accomplish?
More immediately, I would love to run a major marathon. I haven't done it yet. I tried to get into Chicago last year and I didn't get in. So that was kind of a bummer. Yeah. And like the way it wasn't like they told me, no, I didn't get in, but it was just, I mean, it was COVID and things were definitely, it's still COVID, I guess, but things were way more strict and weird about getting into races. They were just starting up again. They kind of just kept on telling me maybe, maybe. And then it was like 7 weeks to go. Sorry, I'm going to call. It was 7 weeks to go. And they were like, hey, like, would you like a bib on our starting line? And I was like, if you think I'm going to run Chicago with a 7 week buildup. And that's like, assuming that I've been training for a marathon for the past five, I just wasn't. So, anyway, I would love to run a major marathon, this fall. That'd be really cool. I think it'd be a super fun experience. So that would be really cool. And then, I think the women's marathon is so deep and so competitive. So it's kind of hard, to frame what would be successful for me, just because I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to be anyone's pick to make a team. but I think top 10 would be really awesome at like the US trials, and the women's marathon is so deep. That would be a really, really competitive effort for me. I would have to run, you know, under 2:26. So that would be really crazy and really exciting, for me. So, I think kind of those two things, more immediate and then more in the future, would be awesome.
Yeah. What's your PR now?
2:29:17.
What? I don't even want to know what mile split that is.
I think it's like 5:43 or 5:42.
Yeah. Ew.
I know. It sounds way worse than what it is, though. It really, like, if I think about per mile, I'm like, oh my gosh, but I did that. And I feel like I can't do that. So, what's, and it does feel a lot slower.
What's the hardest part of the marathon for you?
Honestly, my biggest stress is like having to go to the bathroom. Like, it's 2.5 hours and you're drinking so many fluids that it's, and you know, I take a lot of Imodium. So that end isn't the issue, but it's like really just like having to flush out all the fluids that I'm drinking. And so at my first marathon at grandma's, I stopped to go because I couldn't, I guess it's like a very common thing that people pee themselves, but I just couldn't bring myself to that point.
Hey, didn't you know this? I'd be like, everyone on our college team would just piss themselves in the race.
Yeah. But that was like a different, that was like bladder incontinence or something.
Yeah, that's like bladder, like you can't hold it.
Yeah. This is like, I would have loved to just pee while I was running, but I couldn't. So I stopped. And then I feel like after that, I was just kind of off and never really got back into the same rhythm. And so then, for some reason, that wasn't an issue for me at the trials at all. But at CIM, I was just like really worried about being overhydrated. And I was able to just pee myself during the marathon. This is so embarrassing. But I'm just saying,
sport that, like, is so gross.
It is. It, like, I mean, I think we might have talked about this in college, but the friends that you make in running, it's just like a different level of bonding, because you just have to be so raw and so vulnerable, that you see someone at their just absolute lowest. They're like spitty and snotty and, I mean, just on the track moaning, and you're just like so excited for them, and any other person would be disgusted by that. So you just kind of connect with people on a different,
that's so true. Literally yesterday I was in a bathroom with my friend, and we were like we were in the same stall or whatever, you know, out or whatever. And she was like, oh, do you mind if I pee in front of you? I was like, I was on a college cross country team. Like
we truly went to the bathroom in the woods every day.
Like, I don't know why I would ever be worried about that.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. But I guess like for the marathon, it was like a new level was unlocked, because I wasn't worried about having to stop to go to the bathroom to pee. I just felt like I could just pee myself. But that's such a stress for me. And I don't know why.
Because that's it's so unnatural to do that.
Oh yeah. And like, it doesn't feel good. And yeah, like, cause then you're all wet and it's terrible. But that always kind of like stresses me out. And then probably nutrition would be my second biggest concern, is just making sure that you get your bottle and you have all the fuel that you need, cause you are out there running a long time, and then you train your body to take gels and fluids. So then when you train for that and then you miss your bottle during a race, it just is catastrophic.
So what does that mean when you miss your bottle?
So you have your bottle, well, the elites have a table lined up, and you have your special mix inside your bottle of carbs and sugars. And if you run by and grab it, there's a lot of runners aren't very athletic, and a lot of times you can miss your bottle, you can knock it off the table, or someone before you could have knocked it. So there's just kind of a lot of unknowns when coming to get your bottle. So you just have to be prepared to take either what's on the course. Sometimes they have Gatorade or water, or you have gels in your shorts or sports bra that you can use. But yeah, it is a lot harder than it looks, because you're also trying really hard.
Trying really hard, you're running really fast, and the table probably is not that big to.
No, and they're all, like, depending on the race, sometimes they're just like these wimpy little tables that are on roads that have a million potholes, so it's all uneven. And you know, typically they do a good job of giving you signs before, saying like bottles are coming up, or if there's a pacer, they'll be like, hey, bottle's up, so you know to move over. But it's a race at the end of the day, and there's a lot of things going on. So yeah, it can be sometimes crowded and confusing, especially the first bottle grab. It's like horrible, because everyone's
in the same pack. I mean, at least, yeah, then you spread out a little bit.
Yeah. Like the trials, it was such an interesting experience, because they normally for a road race, they only do maybe 50 elites, and that's like 25 men, 25 women. But the trials, you know, everyone was an elite athlete, so everyone had bottles, and it was just such a complex setup that they had.
Oh my god, and so many people made it to the trials too.
Yeah, for the women, it's like, I mean, what was it, like 500 people for bottles every 5k or 10k or whatever they did. So Atlanta Track Club did a really great job of making sure that, you know, everyone had access to what they needed. But I carried a bottle for like the first 5k, because I was like, there is no way
I'm even gonna worry about that.
Yeah
What's in your bottle?
It's been a learning curve for me. At first I was like, oh, like I can put anything in my bottle, like my body can handle anything.
Why would you? I feel like you out of anyone should be concerned.
I know I typically have a lot of issues, but I thought that I was just like, oh, like I also didn't want to spend money on getting like an expensive nutrition.
Yeah, that stuff can add up.
Yeah, so I mixed, it was so gross at grandma's. I just made a ton of bad decisions, but I would like mix a goo and like some Gatorade powder and like Red Bull. Like, it was sick. And also at grandma's, it was cold out in the morning, so my gel solidified at the bottom of the bottle. And I got these bottles that had like straws in them. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought I was like, oh, it'd be easier to just slurp while I'm running. But the gel had solidified at the bottom, and it froze. And so then the straw was clogged. It was just like terrible. So I didn't do that.
You learned from that mistake.
At the trials. And I don't even remember what I did at the trials. I think I did a similar like potion thing where I mixed a bunch of things. Gross.
Potion.
Yeah. I was like calling it like my witch's brew. It was disgusting. So anyway, I don't do that anymore. I just do Gatorade gels, and I use the Scratch Super Fuel, and it works great. So
there you go.
Love it.
Figured it out.
Yeah.
Trial simple. And error.
Yeah. It's like a very mild taste. I think the Red Bull phase was like a tough one
that to come like off of. Carbonated?
Yeah. Sometimes I would open them the night before to get them flat.
Ew.
But I just wanted like the caffeine.
Yeah.
But then it would also like ruin my day. I'd do like a morning workout and then just be like, just like shaking the rest of the day. And like on Sundays after a long run, I like to take a nap, but I would just be like, so I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to like run all my errands today and just get everything done.
And then the next day you're just destroyed.
Ruined. Like, yeah. So, yeah, took a while to get there, but yeah. I got there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Well, we have a couple listener questions for you for the last part of the episode. We have a lot of people that you know, they submitted questions. So
even worse.
So the first one, I feel like you better get this one right or this person's going to be personally offended. Who's your favorite teammate at Oregon?
Oh, wow. I wonder who this could be. I would probably have to say Jenna Prandini.
Wow, you got it right.
That was a close call. I was sweating a little bit.
Okay, you had, this one might be a little harder because I feel like you had a couple of your current teammates submit the question, but favorite teammate now?
Oh my God. Can I just like opt out of that?
Yeah, you can opt out. You can say you like your whole team.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I really enjoy everyone that I train with. It's been really nice to have a group of people, and I just maybe sometimes kind of take it for granted. But you know, it's, you kind of have that at Oregon or in college and in high school. And I feel like finding that after college is a lot harder because there's no structure to provide that for you. So. Yeah, it's been really nice. I'm really grateful for Boulder for that. So I guess maybe that's why people come here.
Yeah.
Answer that
sounds like it. I'm about to move to Boulder. Just kidding.
Yeah, please. I open room. Come on in.
Okay, what is the hardest mile in a marathon?
I would say for me, it's the mile right after the half, because that's like such a milestone for me. I'm like, okay, get through the half at this time. And then you're like feeling good. But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, I still have 13.1 to go. So I wouldn't say like I'm super mentally positive. And I mean, physically, the hardest mile is probably like somewhere in the 20s, maybe, or after 20, 21, 22. But mentally, I really struggle after half because it's such a mental milestone, and then I hit it and then I'm just like bombed with the truth that there's a long way to go.
True.
Yeah.
Like do elite runners, do they like hit the wall in, like you're saying probably the miles in the 20s is the hardest, but I know, I feel like a lot of people just talk about hitting the wall. Do you feel like that?
Oh yeah. I mean, at grandma's, I hit a very hard wall.
Grandma's just sounds like a bad experience for you.
It honestly, I mean, I had a fun trip. It was great. Morgan actually came and paced me for the first 16, and that was really nice. But it was my first marathon and I had no idea what to expect, but those last 6 miles were truly brutal. And like, I sometimes see photos from the end of that race and it looks how it felt, like just disgusting.
I'm going to start, I'm going to go like through your honestly, Instagram tags and go find one.
Look away. I'm pretty sure I tried to scrub the internet of any of those photos because it was tough. But yeah, I mean, after, I think a lot of people would agree that it's mainly just like a 10K race, is you get through the first 20 and you're fine. And then that last 10K, the wheels kind of just come off. So it's pretty tough. And if you're getting after it and running it pretty hard, that last 10K can be brutal.
Yeah.
But you should, yeah. Aren't you?
Aren't I a marathoner? Yeah, I'm a marathoner. Yeah. I ran one.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I ran it so perfectly paced though, and not hard like you do, that it wasn't that bad until the last 2 miles for me.
Yeah.
Where my legs
started. Now you gotta get after one.
You think I should just like start trying to be an elite marathoner now?
Why not?
I mean, honestly, quite a few reasons to say why not.
The miles don't have to be anything flashy or impressive. And that's the nice thing, is like, you just got to get a solid work in.
Yeah. I know it's like the time on the feet, but that's a lot of time to spend on the feet.
Yeah. The feet don't love it.
You were also a 10K runner in college. Mm. And yeah. I am not a 10K runner.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of 1500 meter runners that are moving up to the marathon and finding lots of success.
Ew, don't tell me that. That's like everyone that runs ultra marathons that I've ever talked to, like, come on, I would love it. I'm like, please come. Yes. Like, maybe we'll see. I'll run another one sometime, but I don't like the thought of running 6 minute pace for 26 miles actually makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, I never liked tempo runs. Those are my least favorite kind. And I feel like the marathon is a giant long tempo run.
Yeah. 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 Nothing you're saying is wrong.
It's just the mental aspect. Like, I don't doubt that my body could do it. I just don't think I can do it mentally. I think I just think too many negative thoughts while I'm running that I don't know if I can hold on for that long.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you found someone who wanted to train for one, and then you would run it with them, that instead of just like a solo
death march, a solo venture.
Yeah.
I'll try it again. We'll see. Someone, I think this was another person on your team. What's your favorite time to start a run?
Oh my God. Not early. I mean, I think a perfect day that I didn't have work, probably like 9:30 or 10, I think is a great
time. I think Oregon made us that way because I'm such a wimp now when it comes to running before 8 a.m. I'm like, no.
Oh my gosh. No. Yeah.
I need my morning. I need to eat my breakfast. I need to watch an episode of TV and chill.
Just like ease into my day. Yeah. Because I wake up and I run in the morning, but I wouldn't say that that's like my natural default, or I wake up in the morning and I'm like happy to be awake.
Yeah.
To be running. It takes me a few miles to be like, okay, this is okay.
So do your teammates like make fun of you for that? Is that why this person asked the question?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I feel like they know that like the first few miles, sometimes I can show up a little bit grumpy.
Oh, you know, like grumpy.
Yeah. And so then it takes me a few miles to warm up and join the conversation. And then I'm there. I'm making myself sound like a diva. I'm not.
No, you're not. let's see. I have two questions left. Well, you kind of answer this, maybe. Do you do any cross training now or no?
No. I do have those bike shoes, and I was a little bit injured last year, but I didn't do too much cross training. I don't know. I think I kind of burnt myself out from college.
The extra 7 hours on the underwater treadmill, no more.
Just like a light work day, really, on the treadmill. Like
7 hours, ew.
But I think supplementing your training with cross training is great and good, and I should do it more, but I don't.
Okay, the last question I have is, do you have any advice to your younger self?
I don't know. I feel like if I were to talk to my younger self, I would probably tell myself that, you know, running is going to be something, you know, really important in my life, and to appreciate it a little bit more. But I think that my younger self wouldn't appreciate that or care, because I feel like everyone was like, oh, like, you're going to love running when you're older. And I was just kind of like, if I'm still running when I'm, you know, after college,
what age were people saying that to you?
I don't know. I feel like they're just kind of like, oh, like running is going to be something that, you know, you'll do kind of the rest of your life. And I was just like, that sounds horrible. But now I am doing it, and I do love it, and I do appreciate it. And it's, you know, the best part of my day. So I don't know. I wish I could give my younger self advice, but I don't think
she wouldn't listen to you.
I wouldn't listen or appreciate, or just be like, oh, wow, feel excited about it, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But it's my life and I'm excited about it now. So. Oh,
God. Well, thank you. That was really insightful.
You can cut.
Anyways, this was a good episode. I like this episode. It went a lot of different directions. Also, we talked about running more than I think you and I have ever talked about running in our entire lives.
Yeah, ever in our friendship. So that's good.
You know? It's good. We need to catch up on the running side every once in a while. Well, where can people follow you at?
Instagram. I'm not very active, but I'm there. I post probably 3 times a year.
I hit that like every time. Do you know what your handle is off the top of your head?
I think it's Molly J. Grable.
Okay. And it's always linked in the show notes too. So people go follow Molly, cheer her on in her marathon career and life and whatever else you post on there. Okay.
It's limited. Well,
yeah. All right, Molly, to close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Commas Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. It was really fun talking to Molly. She is seriously one of my favorite people ever. She is hilarious, and I miss having her as a teammate because she made training so fun, and I hope you guys enjoyed getting to know her a little more and are going to be rooting for her on the roads in the future. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Commas Over Cold Brew Pod to be up to date on the latest episodes and to submit listener questions. Also, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Again, it's a free way to support, and it helps me out so much for the podcast. I really appreciate if you guys take the time to do that. Thank you all for listening so much, and I will hear from you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with MilliQ Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.